Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by Blackhawks insider from CSNChicago.com, Tracy Myers. Hey, Tracy.
Hello.
Before we get to the latest podcast, can't get enough of Chicago sports. Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. Well, welcome back. You've been with the boys on the road trip.
Yep.
The first half of the six-game road trip before the five-day bye. Mm-hmm. 2-1 so far.
Yeah.
I thought by far the most impressive game was the Dallas game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, because they were in that here we go again sense happening. You could kind of feel the sway, at least early in the third period when Tyler Seguin scored, Jamie Benn, and then Tyler Seguin scored. But at the same time, I thought overall their game was pretty darn good in Dallas. First 10 minutes of the game was just kind of a snooze fest. And then all of a sudden it blossomed into this game that you think, see, this is why you want to see these two teams play in the playoffs, because it would be energetic, it would be fun, each team has its skill. But when they went down 3-2, you're thinking, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Here we go again. And so were they. In classic Blackhawk style, they stuck with it.
Yeah, I keep looking at it, and I'm like, how's Dallas not in the playoffs?
Yeah.
You know, how is Winnipeg not in the playoffs? Like,
right.
And I know we always say the Hawks get everybody's A game.
Yeah.
There is more than a shred of truth to that.
I mean,
you do see that. But, like, the Arizona game, I mean, that's a team. You got a 3-0 lead. You've got to drop the hammer on them. And, again, too close for comfort. They pull it out at the end. But that's one where, I mean, just those unforced penalties, the three delay a game.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that game, that second period, I should say, because that start couldn't have been better.
Right.
That was the start. That was the game, really, they've been looking for all season. And then second period, one penalty that doesn't look like that much of a big deal turns into two penalties, turns into a 5-on-3, turns into a 3-1 score. And like you said, the Quenneville was just incredulous. Obviously, he wasn't as angry as he could have been after that game since they won it. But to see him throw it three times over the glass in one period was just astounding. And the Blackhawks have taken their share of delay of game penalties. But a throwaway period, if there was ever such a thing. But Crawford said it perfectly, and you could tell he was kind of angry about that game. I think just as for a team, himself included, he said you can't let that happen.
Yeah.
He said, and why, that's a lesson for us. It doesn't matter if it's the best team in the league or the worst. You cannot do what we did in the second period and be surprised that you get behind or almost lose a game.
Talk about some big ticket items that you've seen thus far on this road trip. Mm-hmm. I think there's a few things. We'd like to see Corey get back to the pre-appendectomy Corey.
Right.
He seems to be on that. What your assessment of where Corey is at thus far on this road trip?
I thought he was better as it went on. I thought he was much better against Dallas, although we were joking if that first goal he gave up was a goalie pants.
Right.
they've talked about, they have to get down and squeeze quicker and get a little more used to that fine. But I think in a general sense, and you saw that game in Dallas, there were some very good opportunities against him.
Yeah.
Dallas, for all its injuries, still has a tremendous amount of talent in that lineup. Your Jamie Benn, your Tyler Seguin's, Patrick Sharp, who's been back now for a month or so. So the talent is there. And you cannot, I think they still had 34 shots on him. So he had to make some pretty big saves. But I think he's gotten better. There were a couple in Arizona I thought, oof, boy, that's not so good. But I see it trending in the right direction.
We saw the Anisimov, Kane, Panarin line wake up in Arizona. That's something that, you know, especially for that group, we're just so accustomed to, you know, hit the play button and they're just going to produce.
Sure.
But the other story is, you know, who's going to be with Taves? And it's we've seen Schmaltz up there. We saw Richard Panik. We've seen him a couple of times up there. Hossa, of course, back up there. Your thoughts on where finding the line mates for Taves is at right now, and where's where's his comfortability with this whole process?
Yeah, and Taves, I think, will always be the good soldier. I'm sure he's like anybody else. He would love to have two steady line mates. I personally, just me, I would go back to Hartman, him, and Panik, you know, because I thought that was a pretty good group. Or Hartman, him, and Hossa. You know, I really like what Hartman's doing, and every game he's played, he's almost begging to get put back up on that top line. Schmaltz, when he was first put up there, I thought, okay, you know, this is a different kid than what we saw the first time around. But against Dallas again and against Arizona again, you saw him getting back into that habit of passing off or passing up a shot. He can't do that with that line. It goes back to last year when Teuvo Teravainen was given that chance, and he admitted, yeah, I was hesitant to shoot. Instead, I was passing off to Taves or Hossa because they're the ones you get the puck to. To a degree, absolutely, he's right. But if you've got the opportunity and you've got a shot, and Schmaltz does, you have to have the confidence to take it. When he first came back up here, he had that, and it was showing, and good results were coming. He still has to have that if he's going to be on that top line, and if he's not, you got to put somebody who is confident in their shot.
Yeah, and we even saw Saad go through that too, you know, where he was reluctant to shoot, and then he fit in on that top line.
Right.
More on the top line and whether or not they're going to go after, pursue a top six forward in our next segment of the Hawks Talk podcast. Want to just get back to, you know, the final three games of this road trip. We'll start a Wednesday night against the nemesis, the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
Been the best in the West. Their goal differential on the year is off the charts.
Yeah.
They've caused the Hawks problems.
Yeah.
Your thoughts here on these final three games and how important they are before they head into that five-day break?
Well, I talked to the Blackhawks about this down in Dallas, you know, because we're getting to that nitty-gritty, 27, 28 games left, and this is where you start putting the pedal to the metal again. You know, you've gotten through that sluggish part of the season where you're just trying to get through. And the Blackhawks know this process. It's a marathon. Now they'd like to get a little more energy, a little more speed. They need to play an all-around game. This is what's been missing all season from them, is that complete 60-minute game. So that's their focus coming down the stretch. If they catch Minnesota, great. If they don't, just keep pace, because they've got enough cushion between them, and I think it's Nashville that's in third place in the Central. St. Louis is dropping off. You know, I don't think it's going to get much better in the wake of Hitchcock being gone. So they're in a good spot. Just be smart, but they definitely need to ramp up their game, because as it is now, I don't know how long they would last in a playoff series, despite their experience, despite knowing that they can turn it off and on at any time, or at least have been able to most of the time these last couple years. You don't want to get in a situation where you're playing with fire like that. You haven't played a consistent 60-minute game this year, and that's what they need to do.
Knowing that they'll likely play a division foe, I mean, you look at Winnipeg on Friday night, which is their next stop after Minnesota.
Yeah.
That team has had their number as well. So your thoughts on these matchups in particular, Minnesota and Winnipeg. I know they finish up in Edmonton on Saturday.
Yeah, Minnesota playoffs, we know what happens there.
Yep.
Regular season has been Minnesota the last season and a half. And part of it, I think this year, you know, the Staal trade, I didn't know if it was going to make that much of a difference, but apparently it is. You've got Boudreau up there, so you had a bit of a change of idea. And maybe they needed that. You know, sometimes a change of scenery, and it just wasn't working with Mike Yeo. They were only getting so far.
Right.
Goaltending's been good. They're getting great contributions up and down the lineup. I've been impressed. I've really been impressed. Now, nothing against Minnesota, nothing against the Wild. You always wonder what happens once the postseason hits. Does it get back in their heads what this team has done to them? And there's enough guys up there that obviously have been a part of this. So that's my question with them. Winnipeg, yeah, in the regular season, I don't know what it is with these guys. First of all, they've got the size. They are great at bottling up things in the middle. So you've got a Blackhawks team that a lot of times this year weren't getting traffic in front. Now they were just being kept from trying to get traffic, and you have to work a little harder against that team because they're big and because they also have the speed. And the Blackhawks just didn't do that much of it. They did the last game mm-hmm. against Winnipeg. Unfortunately, lost that one down the stretch. But that's what you need to do against that team. And Winnipeg is very strong, very big, and they have no problem bottling things up. So the Blackhawks just have to work that much harder to get in their way.
Coming up, I want to talk to you about your conversation with Stan Bowman mm-hmm. on this recent road trip, what you think they may or may not do before the trade deadline. And we'll get into that when the Hawks Talk podcast continues.
It's sports. It's social. It's viral. It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show. In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago. And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
If you travel out of the area for work, no worries. Take the Blackhawks on the go. No matter where you are within the continental United States, stream every single CSN Blackhawks game live online at csnchicago.com and with the NBC Sports app on your mobile device or tablet.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day. David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities. Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, Pat Boyle and Tracy Myers with you. Let's get into the dialogue that you guys had with Stan Bowman mm-hmm. before the
San Jose game
yeah. to start this road trip. You know, it was the first time that he basically said, yeah, don't expect a lot to happen. Do you think that that's the way it's going to go down?
I think I have to look at this from two angles, and I'll explain. First of all, the question that he was asked when he said that was if he was in the market for a top-line left winger. It was a very specific question. And at first he said, you know, I don't see anything happening. By the end of that answer, it became, I don't see anything big like that happening. So, you know, maybe he might look for something for depth. I think you get into a dangerous situation if you're looking for one specific spot. You know, when they got Antoine Vermette, it wasn't, oh, he has to play in a certain spot.
Right.
He became third-line center, and it was beautiful. You know, even Hanzus a couple years ago, some of the depth guys that they've gotten over the years, they didn't think Hanzus was going to be a second-line center. It worked out beautifully that year. So I think if you go for what helps your team more than what's going to help a certain line, because last year they tried to do that with Andrew Ladd, and I'll admit I'm as surprised as anybody, but it didn't work. You know, because you were just going for that other thing. So I think they'll do something. But here's the other danger, and Bowman also talked about this. He doesn't expect there to be a ton out there. And if you're going to get in that, you know you're going to get into bidding wars. We all learned in our economics classes, supply and demand.
Sure.
And so the Blackhawks, I don't think, can afford to get into a bidding war. You know, look at the prospects you've lost over the last couple of years. Look at the draft picks that you're trying to build back up because the draft is here this coming year. I think they've got to be very careful.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things working here. You bring up the fact that Chicago is hosting the draft in June. We know there's been marching orders. Look, they don't want to host a draft and not have a pick in the first two rounds.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
So that's working against them. The fact that you brought up so many horses are still in this race.
Yeah.
You know, other than, you know, Arizona and Colorado, I think pretty much everybody is still in the mix in the West.
Yeah.
It's got to be an expiring contract. There's all these little parameters that are pretty much set already.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, the salary cap situation, where a couple of weeks ago it looked like they could add an AVV that was in the fives.
Yeah.
You know, now it's back down to $1.7 million because of the call-ups, and they haven't really sent too many people down. So there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah.
Do you feel that they feel comfortable that the – whether it's Panic, whether it's Hartman, mm-hmm. whether it's – Schmaltz, whoever that the young guys they have on this current roster are mm-hmm. trending up enough in the right direction that they feel comfortable putting them out there in the Stanley Cup playoffs with Taves?
I mean, as of now, that certainly seems to be the case. You know, Bowman is saying, listen, we're in a different situation this year, and we're going to need these young guys, and we're looking for them to develop. And he goes, and look at how far they've come from October to now. We expect them to keep progressing. And so by the time the playoffs start, he's expecting them to be at another level. Now, with a guy like Hartman, I could see that happening, absolutely, because he's been here the whole time. He's been great all regular season. Is Schmaltz ready for it? I'm not sure. Panik had a taste of it last year with these guys, so I think he'll be fine. That's the big question. And, when March 1st rolls around, and we're within a month now, is Stan Bowman going to feel that same way about the progression that these guys have had as he did a week ago when he talked to us? But, it might be a situation where they have to be, to a degree, because of all what we talked about with the constraints this year.
Well, and one guy that, you know, it seems to be the round peg in the round hole that could fit would be Patrick Sharp, although high ABV in the over five, and that there would have to be some maneuvering to make that happen.
Right.
You spoke to Patrick down in Dallas. First of all, good to see him back. He's had a lot of concussion issues this year.
Yeah.
He seems to be playing at a much higher level, the level we're used to seeing from Patrick. Yeah. What did he have to say on the prospects of possibly returning to Chicago?
He was pretty much what I figured he would be. He was kind of, listen, I'm in Dallas now. My focus is on Dallas right now. I think Patrick Sharp is like anybody else. He has fond memories of this place, and he won three cups. And if Dallas continues on the trend that it's been continuing, they lost that game the other night to the Blackhawks. They lost two nights before to Winnipeg. It's not working. I think they're 5 points out going into to Tuesday's game. So it's not trending in the right direction. So once, if the playoffs fall out, or if Dallas falls out of completely of the playoff picture, and unfortunately looks like it's going that way, does Sharp say, okay, one last chance or something like that with a group of guys that I know very well? Is Dallas willing to send him back if they get the right assets? Because Dallas has some needs. Defensively, they've got a glut of defensemen. They were so injured this year, and I don't think anybody would mind another prospect or what have you. Again, it goes back to, what are the Blackhawks willing to give up? It would be an easy fit, obviously, but it's what Dallas would want if it gets to that point. But there's no doubt it would be pretty seamless.
All right, give us one or two things that you're going to be looking for these last three games before the bye, whether it's actual personnel situations, team goals. What are you going to be looking for here from the Hawks these last few games?
I want to see how Corey Crawford does going into the break. Like I said, I think he's trending in the right direction. I think he, more than anybody, would like to really get back to where he was pre-appendix, smaller pants, whatever we're going with here. I would like to see where he finishes up when this is done. I would love to see how the Blackhawks play Minnesota right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
They should be stoked for this game. They won't be in striking distance of first place that night, but still, you need to show your best game to these guys, and let's see what happens. But all around, the Blackhawks just need to be playing a complete game. They really do. If they could take that first period that they had in Arizona and make it 60, and we've seen it before.
Yeah.
We've seen it over the last couple of years. That used to be something that wasn't a surprise to us. This year it has been. So the consistency has been an issue all year. They've gotten to the point now where you can't rely on the goaltending because it's had its issues.
They've traded off at points of bad starts, good finishes, and then great starts, bad finishes.
Never
as
put
of
it all
late.
Together.
And that second period's been a nemesis quite a bit throughout this entire season, goal differential-wise. So you're right. I mean, consistent play is something. And you touched on it at csnchicago.com in the last week or so. These guys, the core guys, they know the drill.
Right.
They're trying to save something for the postseason. They realize they need to be in a good spot in the standings and all that sort of stuff. But, the dog days are now we're starting to get past them. The finish line is in sight.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how this team, young guys and core guys, come together.
I think it's mainly for the new guys, too, is these last 28 are really important. Because for some, like we talked about Hartman, who have really put themselves up there and really shown what
diving,
they can do.
Diving and saving a potential game-tying goal in Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the comparisons to Shaw, which I think we need to we've moved on
he's
from
Ryan
that.
Hartman. He's,
yeah,
not
he's Ryan
Andrew
Hartman.
Shaw.
And,
yeah,
look, he brings a lot to the table. But that, you know, you spoke to other players in the dressing room. How did they react to Ryan Hartman diving in front of that?
Nicklas Jarmolson, as you can imagine, was like a proud father.
Yes.
You know, he was thrilled, and understandably so, and so was Q. You know, that's what you need. You know what he can do offensively. You know he can be a bit of a pest, but staying on the right side of that line. You know he's willing to drive the net, but when you can make a big defensive play at a time when your time needs it, and he said he didn't do it in Arizona, which is why he wanted to make sure he did it in Dallas. That's a guy rounding into form.
Great stuff as always, Tracy Myers. We'll be following you on Twitter, of course, csnchicago.com. Enjoy the rest of the road trip, then enjoy some time off.
Thank you.
Get ready for the stretch run.
Yahoo!
Can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/csnshy. Again, that'll do it for the latest Fox Talk podcast. For Tracy Myers, I'm Pat Boyle. We'll see you next time.